Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians chapter 1. Anybody knows what happens to a frog's car when it breaks down?
The frog's car goes
rivet, rivet. It gets towed. Car. A teacher asked her students to use the word beans in a sentence. My father grows beans, said one girl. My mother cooks beans, said a boy. A third student spoke up and said, we are all human beans. That didn't go where you thought it was going to go, did it? Did you see that story on the news this week about the guy that got hit in the head with a can of 7-Up? He was okay. It was a soft drink. I was very hurt Sunday. I was told that my jokes sound like my brother's jokes. That hit real hard, real deep right here. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4 this evening. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we just ask that you would give us something from your word tonight. Be with me as I speak. Give me wisdom. Give me words. Clear my thoughts. Clear my mind, Lord. And just help me to be a blessing. Help what I say to be a blessing to someone here that needs it tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope to be just a blessing and encouragement tonight. Everybody's down and I want to encourage you, but just to kind of excite you a little bit about being a Christian, because there are some things about the Christian life that are just wonderful. If you look around and you read news stories and you see things, and boy, Christians are just being so persecuted and so. It could be a whole lot worse, let me tell you. But the truth of the matter is, the Christian life is a great place to be. I enjoy being a Christian. I love being a Christian. I'd hate to think of what life would be like if I was not a Christian. If I didn't come to church and I didn't love the Lord and I'd hate to think of what life would be like otherwise. So I just want to talk about a little bit tonight, verse 4, about being chosen. We are chosen. And if you look in verse 1, he's talking about the saints. He's talking about Christians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. In verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we are chosen. And before I really go on any farther, I want to address, we are not chosen to be saved. God did not choose me to be saved over Mrs. Bingham. Everybody else might have, but God didn't. No, I'm just teasing. No, God doesn't look down at Jeremy and say, I love you, Jeremy. I want you to be saved. And then look at Brother Gonzo and say, I don't want him in heaven. I don't have to spend eternity with that guy. God doesn't do that. He loves each and every one of us. God wants everyone to have eternal life. Being chosen is not being chosen. Being ordained is not being ordained that we should or should not be saved. And it's very clear. There are tons of scriptures throughout the Bible that tell us about, that teach us that. Romans 10:13, we know that verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a whosoever there. It means anybody. Anybody can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It can't get any clearer than that. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus said, if any man will come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't, and I'm just establishing here that being chosen is not God choosing who is going to get saved and who is not going to get saved. A loving God would not do that to us. I can't imagine living for a God that says, okay, this group of people, they're going to hell. I don't care. As bad as they might want it, I'm not going to accept them into heaven. I can't imagine living for a God that is like that. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. 2 Peter 3, 9, we know this verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that who? Any should perish. There is no doubt, there is no question in Scripture, there is no question in God's Word that God wants every single person to be saved. He is not willing. If He was the one making the choice, everyone in the world would be saved. It is very clear that that choice is up to me and you. We are the ones that make the choice as to whether or not we're going to accept eternal life, whether or not we are going to accept His payment for our sin. So we, by the way, I got 4 pages tonight. But I will be through very quick tonight. I do know that. So the question is left, what are we chosen for? There are so many things that we as Christians are chosen for. It is unbelievable. And I could, this is probably just a part one. I'll probably do part two in Sunday school. So teens, get ready for another one on this. But there are so many things. There are so many things that we're chosen for. We were chosen according to this verse here before the foundation of the earth. Christ knew we were going to be saved. He knew who was going to be saved. He didn't choose who was going to be saved. But he knew. One of the amazing things, I think I got this later, but I'm going to just skip ahead to it because it's just cool. I love it. I'm probably going to get it all messed up. Sammy, could you bring that cup of water up here? That one that I was sipping from a minute ago. Where was I? Maybe I ought to wait for this. Nope. I'm going to do it now. We were chosen. God knew everything before we were even born, before the world was even formed. God knew who we were. God had a plan for every one of our lives, for each of our lives. He had chosen you and I for all of these things we're going to talk about before the foundation of the earth. Thank you very much, sir. I'm dry as a bone tonight. But it's hard to understand, but if you can even come close to grasping it, it's so fascinating. I think of, and I take this illustration, and I've used this illustration before, probably in Sunday school. I don't know if I've used it in here. But I like to think of God and his eternality kind of in a way as a parade. You go to a parade, you sit on the side of the street, and you watch, and you see a little bit of the parade go. And you see another piece of the parade go. And you see another piece of the parade go. You see time progress. You see a little bit at a time. And that's our life. As one band goes by the parade, goes through the parade, that's your life passing through time. At some point, someone's going to see the beginning and someone's going to see the end. You have a beginning and you have an end. You have a born-on date and you have an expiration date. After the expiration date, you're not any good, all right? So, but that is how our life kind of appears to us. But God, it would be as though someone was up in a helicopter, up at the very top, watching every little detail. He watches as the beginning starts. He watches as everybody's getting ready and everybody's preparing and everybody's doing this and everybody's doing that. And as time progresses, he watches as they travel down the street. But he sees the whole thing. He sees every last bit of your life, every last bit of my life, every last bit of everything from a bird's eye view. He's there for every last bit of it. Every last detail he's there for. God is omnipresent, not just here and there and everywhere. He's omnipresent in time. So I'm getting my words all messed up here. Where am I at? He chose us before the foundation of the earth. He was here. Before the foundation of the earth, he was already here where I am right now today. After I die, he's still where I am today because he's omnipresent. His eternality is omnipresent. He's there all the time. Even after I die, he's here. Before I was born, he's here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, a way to look at it, but it's so cool. It's fascinating. If you can wrap your mind around it, it's just cool. We are chosen. How are we chosen? Why are we chosen? Number one, Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to get through here so we can go get some ice cream. Don't tell Lillian I said that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We are chosen to be his. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." I am chosen to be his. He chose to adopt me as one of his sons. Ladies, he chose you. If you've accepted him as your personal Savior, he has accepted you as one of his daughters. I don't call you sister, I call you missus, but you're one of his daughters. I'm one of his sons. We are part of the family of Christ. He chose us. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." That we are the children of God. I have been chosen as a child of God. He has chosen to give me those benefits of being his child. Is that not exciting?
Yeah, amen.
Look, I like talking about Lillian. She's an ornery little stinker. She acts just like her mom. But we're not going there. And I'm going to be in trouble tonight for saying that. But I love doing stuff for her. I come home from work. She didn't do her homework today. And so I came in the house and went and did something. And Sandra got under. Said, "Lillian, go do your homework." And I had to do something. I'm losing my train of thought here. I'm sorry. I'm lost. My brain I just had a brain fart. Sorry. What was that? I like to do things for her. Thank you. Thank you so much. But she wasn't doing her homework. And so Sandra got on to her. And right then I knew, okay, I've got to make sure that I follow through with this. If she's not doing her homework, I've got to make sure she does it too. Well, she came in, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, I want a hug." "Are you doing your homework?" I want to give her a hug. Oh, I want to give her a hug. I hadn't seen her all day. No. So she had to go do her homework. But boy, I tell you, you know how hard it was not to give her a hug right then and there? I said, "Lillian, get your homework done." She only had a little bit left. I mean, it was going to take her 20 minutes to finish it. "Go finish your homework, and then you can come and give me a hug." But you know, I really wanted to do that. I loved her. I do love her. I wanted to give her a hug. There are so many things I enjoy doing for her. There are things I enjoy doing for my wife. You know, she is one of the hardest people in the world to buy a Christmas present for. She's harder to buy a gift for than my dad. If that tells you anything, she doesn't tell you anything. So when we're walking through the store, if I see her looking at something while she's walking by, guess what? She's probably thinking about it. I want to do something for her. But the Lord wants to do things for us. He's chosen us to be His children. He's adopted us into His family. And when He looks down at Jeremy, Brother Jeremy here, I need to say Brother Jeremy. When He looks down at Brother Jeremy and sees Brother Jeremy serving Him and doing what He wants and doing things that please Him, you know what the Lord does? That's my boy. That's my boy. I really would like to do something for him. What does Brother Jeremy want? And if he's serving the Lord, his desires and his wants and his wishes are going to be those things that please the Lord. And the Lord has no problem answering Brother Jeremy's prayers and doing what Brother Jeremy wants, because Brother Jeremy is God's child. God loves His children, and when we do what please Him, He wants to give those things to us. His forever, only His, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am His and He is mine. God has chosen us to be His children. That will never change. Number two, Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. Verse number one. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We're chosen to be blessed. I'm chosen to be blessed. God has chosen me as His child. He's also chosen to bless me. He's chosen to bless you. Now, we have to be in His will to receive His blessings. But God's not going to bless those who have never accepted Him as their personal Savior. They can't receive those blessings. They're not His child. But look, if I am doing His will, if I am pleasing Him, if I am following His desires, if I'm spending time in His Word, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, I am chosen to be blessed. God's blessings are amazing. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has blessed us. Some big blessings for us. Lillian is a blessing. We were not supposed to be able to have her. It's exciting to see her every day. Even when she's naughty, it's exciting to see her. We love that little girl because she is a blessing that we prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and prayed for what, 7 years, 6 years? Something like that. We prayed for her for a long time. The home that we have is something that we prayed for a long time. That's a big blessing. All of those things. Miss Sandra is a big blessing for me. She's my brains. She's my calendar. She is more important than my smartphone because... My calendar doesn't remind me to do things as much as she does. I need those reminders. I promise. God's given me so many blessings. There are so many things that God's given to us that we take for granted. We've been chosen to be blessed. We know this song. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. We are chosen to receive God's blessings. Don't forget that. When you're down in a valley, when you're struggling with something, when you're having a hard time, when the money is not coming and there's more money, more month at the end of the money, I'll get it right eventually. When there's more month at the end of the money, stop for a moment and think about the things that God has done for you. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands, but how many of you have a log of the blessings that God has given you, the prayers that God has answered for you, the things that God has done for you? If you don't, if you start keeping one and you're faithful to write things down that God's done for you, you will be surprised. You'll be surprised at all of the things that God has done for you and will continue to do. It's amazing to see what God does for us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, number 3 tonight. First John chapter 1, we are chosen for fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, it is an amazing thing when you sit down and read God's Word and you get something. It's amazing what you can get. And it's amazing how you can read the same thing 6 months later and get something completely different. And it just blows your mind. You know, if you haven't done that, and I would guess probably everybody in here probably has, there's a proverb for every day of the month, right? There's 31 Proverbs. You have to read a few extra in next month, but you'll get there. But you read the book of Proverbs every day. You read, not the whole book, but you read one chapter in the book of Proverbs every day that corresponds with the day of the month, you'll get something different out of that every single month. Every month you'll get something different. If you have a notebook that you write down what you got this month and you read it over again next month and you go back and look at last month's notebook and you look at this month's notebook, wow, I got something different out of it than I did last month. That's pretty cool. There's some amazing things about God's Word. God's Word is a living book. And God has a desire for fellowship with us. He has a desire to fellowship with you and I. He wants us to read His Word. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to pray. He wants us to ask Him for things. He wants us to ask Him for others. He wants us to talk to Him. How many of you have kids? How frustrating is it when you just want to sit down and talk to your kid and they want to do something different? Does anybody else ever feel that way? Oh my goodness. It is so annoying. She wants to go play, or she wants to bring the cat on my lap. Amen. Should never have gotten the cat. Those things are of the devil. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When I sit down and I want to just have a little chat with Lillian, there's nothing sweeter than that time between her and I when we just talk about something that happened today. Amen. When there's something that is important to her and you can see her eyes just light up as she talks about it. Or when we walk into the store sometimes and she says, she's good through the whole store, right? She doesn't misbehave. She doesn't grab stuff off the shelf and drop it and it breaks and shatters all over the place. We're walking through the store and she behaves and she's doing good. And she says, ooh, Daddy, I like that. You know what I want to do? Yeah. Those moments when she lights up. Those moments when she comes inside from smashing her toe or scraping her knee, I just want to give her a big hug. Or, you're not bleeding, keep playing. Those moments are so important. And I look at that relationship between myself and Lillian as the relationship between God and I. Can you imagine the feeling? If you've got children, you can sort of imagine that feeling that God has when God says, here's my book. Here's my book. And we turn around and go to work. Right. Or here's my book. And we watch a football game. and or here's my book, and we just walk away from what God has for us. Can you imagine just the crushing feeling that it has on him when he wants that fellowship? He desires that time. He wants to spend that time with us, and we just have something better to do. I love spending the time with Lillian, and the Lord loves spending the time with us. Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Last, I think that's last. Yep, that's last. I got through four pages already. You're saying not already. Acts chapter 9. This is my last point. We'll be done. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. We're chosen to be a witness. We are chosen to be a witness. Acts chapter 9, verse 15 says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You know, God chose us for fellowship, right? He also, now we have the responsibility to go and bring others into that fellowship. I have that wonderful relationship with the Lord. You have that wonderful relationship with the Lord. And as we grow, and as we love the Lord more, and as we grow closer to Him, we want to go and tell others about Him. We want to bring others into that fellowship realm with the Lord. We want to bring those people in so that they can have fellowship. They can have that fellowship. They can be chosen to have that fellowship as well. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a responsibility to go out and be a witness to others. But at the same time, because I have a relationship with Him, my desire to go out and lead other people to the Lord, and my desire to go out and witness to other people, and my desire to go out and bring other people in to have that fellowship with the Lord should grow and increase. I get it. I don't like talking to people. I'm not one of those people that likes to talk to people. I don't like standing up here talking to people. I just don't. I'm one of those people, you can stick me on top of a mountain all by myself with a shotgun and a fishing pole, and I'd be happy for the rest, well, Lillian and Sandra, and I'd be happy for the rest of my life. They're not a side note. I would be happy. Just leave me alone. Get me out of Walmart, amen? Let me go alone and be by myself, and I'd be happy. But at the same time, I should grow in that desire to see people come to the Lord. I should grow. The more I spend time with the Lord, the more I grow, the more... I've already said it. I like talking about Sandra. I love her. I like talking about Lillian. I love her. I enjoy talking about my church. I love my church. We enjoy talking about cars, don't we, Brother Bingham? We like cars. We like, you know what? Things that we enjoy, we like to talk about, do we not? I like to talk about guns. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I like to talk about them. I like to listen to people talk about them. We'll put it that way. I have a few, but I like to listen to see people talk about them. I like to hear about them. I like to talk about them. I like to read about them. I like to look at stuff. I really like to look at stuff. I really, really like to. Sandra doesn't like it when I'm looking at guns. But when we have something that we like, we have something that we love, we have something that we enjoy, we want to talk about it. Do we not? As we grow closer to the Lord, we should have that desire and that enjoyment in talking about the Lord. Matthew 28:19a says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Listen, we are chosen. God has chosen us for so many things. He's chosen us for blessings. He's chosen us for responsibilities. He's chosen us, oh man, we could go on and on and on. There's so many things. I could talk about this all night long. We're not chosen to act like everybody else. We're not chosen to act like kings and queens. We're not chosen to live and to be and to look and to act better than other people. We are chosen to be a representative of our Lord. We are chosen to show His love. We are chosen to teach others how to fellowship with the Lord. I love being a Christian. And I hope that everyone else does too. I think you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Let's live like we're chosen. Let's act like we're chosen. Let's enjoy some of those chosen benefits and act like we have those responsibilities as well. Let's bow our heads.